What if the secret to a meaningful life was discovered over 2,000 years ago? Stoicism has experienced a remarkable renaissance recently. Tech CEOs practice morning Stoic meditations, NFL teams incorporate its principles into training, and celebrities cite its ideas as guiding influences. This ancient philosophy offers something our anxiety-ridden, distraction-filled modern world desperately needs, a practical framework for living well despite life's inevitable challenges. Born in Athens around 300 BCE, when a shipwrecked merchant named Zeno discovered philosophy and founded a school under the Stoa Poikile, painted porch, Stoicism evolved through centuries of practice. For our journey, we'll follow Epictetus, born a slave around 55 CE, who studied under renowned Stoic teacher Musonius Rufus before establishing his own school. Despite never writing anything himself, his lectures were transcribed by a student, Arrian, into the discourses we use today. His sensitivity, intelligence, dark humor, and occasional disagreements with modern perspectives make him the perfect guide to demonstrate how Stoicism can flex across vastly different eras and contexts. The cornerstone of Stoicism is understanding what we can and cannot control, a principle found across cultures. This dichotomy presents three levels of influence: things we directly choose, our judgments and character; things we influence but don't control, health, career, relationships; and things beyond our reach, weather, aging, others' opinions. Like an archer who controls his training but not the arrow's final path, we must focus on what we can affect. This isn't resignation, but wise discernment between internal goals and external outcomes. For Stoics, living according to nature means fulfilling our potential as social beings. Unlike Aristotle's focus on contemplation, Stoics believed our function is to use reason for social improvement. Epictetus maintained that humans are inherently social, as we couldn't exist without others. Heracles visualized this through concentric circles of concern, expanding from our mind outward to family, community, and all humanity. Stoics navigated between philosophical extremes with their preferred indifferences concept. While Aristotle argued flourishing requires external goods and cynics rejected all possessions, Stoics took a middle position. Health, wealth, and education are preferred but not essential for virtue. This resembles economic lexicographic preferences. Virtue is category A, and preferred indifferences are category B, with no trade-offs between categories. This concept empowers anyone to pursue a good life regardless of circumstances. Stoicism's 21st century relevance stems from its metaphysical ambiguity about the logos, the rational principle organizing the universe. This allows diverse believers to share one philosophical framework. Christians can view the logos as God's attribute, pantheists can identify it with nature, and atheists can acknowledge the rational organization enabling science while sharing the same ethical principles. Epictetus argued for God's existence through design, but his conception wasn't the external monotheistic deity familiar today. He viewed God as logos, a rational principle embedded within the universe and humans themselves. You bear God about with you. Do you think I speak of some external God of silver or gold? This inclusivity recognizes that living well depends minimally on whether God exists. Epictetus teaches that our true value lies in our core character, not social role. Stoics understood people don't err deliberately, but act according to what they believe is right. This parallels Hannah Arendt's banality of evil. Evil often results from thoughtlessness rather than demonic intent. This connects to the Socratic idea that people do evil out of ignorance, specifically what Plato called amathia, an unwillingness to understand. Epictetus advocated compassion rather than anger towards such people, as they lack wisdom and suffer internal conflict. James Stockdale embodied Stoic resilience during his 7.5 years in Vietnam's Hanoi Hilton. He organized fellow prisoners and resisted propaganda, even disfiguring himself to protect others. Stockdale later articulated the Stockdale paradox. Optimistic prisoners died of broken hearts, while survivors balanced faith in eventual triumph with acceptance of brutal realities. When shot down, he whispered, "5 years down there at the least. I'm leaving the world of technology and entering the world of Epictetus." Stoicism also supports those facing permanent challenges like disability or mental illness. Larry Becker, who contracted polio as a teenager, developed 5 Stoic principles: reclaiming agency after setbacks, focusing on abilities rather than limitations, practicing self-knowledge, creating adaptable life plans, and distinguishing between genuine barriers and surmountable obstacles. Andrew Overby applied Stoicism to manage depression, using its emphasis on self-monitoring to transform excessive self-awareness into an asset through Epictetus's dichotomy of control. These modern Stoics demonstrate how the philosophy triggers profound perspective shifts. During a coup attempt in Istanbul, the author found Stoic practices maintained calm amid danger, reinforcing that few things are truly under our control. Emotional regulation is vital, and rational understanding trumps emotional reactivity. The ancient Stoics weren't obsessed with death, but aware of it, developing an empowering perspective. Epictetus's approach, "I must die, must I? If at once, then I am dying. If soon, I dine now, as it is time for dinner, and afterwards, when the time comes, I will die," can transform our outlook. Using an agricultural metaphor, Epictetus explains that just as wheat grows to be harvested, humans are destined to be reaped. We share mortality with all living beings, but uniquely can contemplate it. This awareness doesn't change death's inevitability, but allows us to control our attitude toward it. The fear of death, not death itself, causes our suffering. Some reject Stoic acceptance, particularly Silicon Valley transhumanists seeking immortality through technology. Epictetus would challenge them for crowding the world's room when others deserve their turn at existence, comparing life to a festival that eventually ends for newcomers. The Stoics viewed suicide as the open door, a dignified option when life becomes unbearable, as with Zeno possibly ending his life in pain and feeling useless, or Cato choosing death over political surrender. However, Epictetus warns, "Stay where you are and depart not without reason." Stoicism offers practical exercises that cultivate the 4 virtues: practical wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance. Focus only on what you can control and consider everything else none of your concern. Remember life's impermanence to foster appreciation for what you have now. When planning, mentally rehearse potential obstacles and add, fate permitting, to intentions. Use challenges as opportunities to practice virtue: self-restraint with attraction, endurance with pain, patience when insulted. Before reacting to provocations, pause. Harm requires your mind's agreement. Notice how we respond reasonably to others' misfortunes, but emotionally to our own. Apply the same reasonable perspective to your situations. End each day with reflection. What bad habit have you cured today? In what respect are you better? Peaceful sleep follows when our secret inquisitor and censor reports favorably on our conduct. In our anxious age, this ancient wisdom helps us meet life's challenges with courage, wisdom, and an unshakable inner peace.